was growing up, I have at least, and I look back over the years that have passed, and I think of how far from God people have moved. They no longer think about God. We look at the moral standards that have been so dismissed in the last few years and seems to be moving and getting worse all the time. We need to go back and think about what God has to say in His book, the Word. We have the Word He has given us. And we need to go back and think about it and put it back in our minds and again go over it time and time again and think about it and think about what we are doing and if we're doing the right thing. God has provided the way. I'd like for you now to turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. And then I want us to start thinking about some things here. Turn to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to begin by reading verse 17 through verse 20, and then we will look at some other verses as well. Luke 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all that power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I want to just stop there now a minute and just consider what we're looking at. As we would back up in the chapter, what we see, if you note, at the first part of the chapter, verse 1, after these things, God appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before the face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Now, oftentimes we only think of the fact that there were 12 apostles or disciples. But here is an occasion, at least, where Christ has appointed 70 to go forth teaching and preparing a way for him. And he's given them power over certain things like serpents and so on. And as they come back, they rejoice. They were really thankful for the fact, and it had really encouraged them, the very fact that they were able to perform miracles and come on around and do things like that, even walk upon serpents. What a thought. Think about it. And yet what we see is he comes down here as they have come back with great joy over all of these special things that were there. And they were rejoicing over it. But read that verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. As I think about that, and as I think about the world we're living in today, people rejoice over many things that they're able to do in this world. Maybe not like this as far as particular power, but what are some of the rejoicings? If you attended service here Wednesday night, what did you see in Fairgrove? You seen the lots were just full of cars. There was not a place in over there that a car could park. What were people rejoicing over? What were they doing? Likely a ball game or something. What do people rejoice over? And what do they spend their time at? And what are they looking forward to? Let's come back to that verse 20. The one thing that they need to be concerned with, and we need to be concerned with, is whether or not our names are written in heaven. I believe we are living in a society that is very much like the one that he taught of old in the first lesson here, Isaac had. They were not listening to God. They were not following God. They were looking for something else. And don't we see the same thing today? You know, you think about it. Whose names are written in heaven? Let's kind of look at a few verses. Turn, if you would, to the book of Philippians a minute. And in the book of Philippians, I want to look at a passage or two. Let's look at chapter 3 first. Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, the King James Version uses the word here, conversation, which meant manner of life. For our manner of life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto the glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We need to be in that situation that he's speaking of here. Look in chapter 4 and verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true fellow worker, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are written in the book of life. You know, the people who serve God and live for Him and look forward to it. The passage that we read of oftentimes in Matthew, where it says that we are to, well, let's just turn there to Matthew just a moment. Chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Where is our mind at? What are we looking forward to? And what are we serving? We need to be serving so that our names are written in heaven. Let me give you another passage here. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. What's he say? To the assembly and church of the firstborn, which were written in heaven. You know, keep it in mind. What does it take to have our name written in heaven? You know, we talk about the gospel and obeying the gospel. We think about what Jesus did so that we could have our names written in heaven, so we could be saved. You know, you can't help but read the when he was going back into heaven, both in Matthew and also in Mark. Let's just listen here as we read here in the book of Matthew. Notice what Jesus says as he's preparing to go into heaven. Verse 18 of chapter 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Oh, think about the fact that what he did while he was on earth. And as he has finished and completed what he had come here to do, he's now headed back to heaven. And he goes there and he sits down at the God's right hand. Notice over in Matthew's account of the same thing, in the last chapter of Mark. Let's look at that one. We looked at Matthew. Let's look at Mark. And let's start here with verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We need to obey that gospel. We need to have belief in all the things that He's done and prepared for us. We need to believe, repent, confess Him before men, be baptized, and live the Christian life, doing the things that He has instructed us to do. You know, it's easy to think about some things. Just think about this. You know, we must obey the Lord. I've always liked Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, notice there in verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." I see a little advertisement on TV that kind of I think about every time I see it. And it's got where it shows this woman says, think about this now just a minute. God is going to do those things. God is going to. But she says, the question really is, are you prepared for that? You know what God has said? He is coming back someday. Think about that a minute. He's coming back someday. Are you prepared for that day? I think it would depend on whether or not your name's written in heaven. Don't you? It depends whether your name is written in heaven. You know, there are some passages that we ought to read. What is it that will keep us from getting into heaven? Maybe our name was written there at one time. What will keep us from having our name blotted out of that? Well, let's read a passage or two. Let's turn to the book of Revelation just a minute. Turn to chapter 3 in the book of Revelation. And look in chapter 3 at verse 5. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels." Now you'd have to read this whole chapter here. Here there an angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast name, that thou livest and art not dead." So what he rear, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come as a thief, And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. There's a few of them in the church there, but oh, so many are all gone. And what's happened to them? There are only those few names are still written in heaven. You know, we can have our name blotted out in our day and time. Turn to Timothy. We studied Timothy over at Stratford, in our Bible class that we have on Thursday. But I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many errors. Here he's discussing the fact there are many who, because of richness, have not had their, they've had their name blotted out of heaven. And we need to see that we do not. Another is, if we go back to that chapter in Revelation, I want you to look there in chapter 3 again. In chapter 3, what we see is verse 5. Well, I first have chapter 2, I'm sorry. And chapter 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlesticks out of this place, except thou repent. He's talking about having them removed. They'll be removed out. And in chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. They're going to have their names blotted out of the book of life in heaven. Turn in the book of Revelation over to chapter 20. In chapter 20, look at verse 11. Says, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a Casper stone, clear and crystal, and had a wall great and high, and travel gates, and the gates trail angels, and names written, therefore, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east gate, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. And on the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city, and 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed in measure the city and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. So what we see, their names were written there. And then we get over into chapter 21 and look at verse 27. In verse 27, and ye shall in no wise enter into it, anything that despileth there, whatsoever worketh abomination and maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, what a thought. Names written in the book of life. They can be blotted out. You know, we have to think about what's going to happen. Without a doubt, what's going to happen? Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And when the judgment comes, what's going to happen? Those will hear his voice. They'll hear his voice, those that are saved, and they will meet him in the air. But those who are lost will have their souls put into hell fire, and there they will burn through eternity. God has prepared a place, and he has prepared this place that we are to go to. You know, listen in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the season, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. And when they shall say, peace, safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them that travail, upon a woman which shall, and they shall not escape. What we see and what we see, we want our names written in heaven. When we obey the gospel, when we become Christians, our names are written in heaven. If we live the Christian life and continue to serve him and do his will, it will be there. But if it's not, it will be blotted out. You know, I think that's what we're talking about in the book of Revelation. When he talks about judgment coming and the Lord coming back. It talks about the books. I've always wondered about that. Have you read that chapter and thought about it? Let's do that in our closing here. What do we see in chapter 20. Let's just start with verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name written in the book of life? Just when he comes back, are your name be written in the book of life? Or have you had it blotted out? What a condition. If you don't have it written in the book of life and never have had it written, you need to become a Christian today by repenting of your sins, believing that Jesus is Christ, and serving him day by day, every day. If you've been a Christian and have had your name blotted out, you can have it put back in. Come forward and we will pray for you and have you can repent and serve him again. If you have a need, would you come while we stand and sing?